Good day, everyone. This is Big Biff from Nintendo Australia. Last week, we introduced a brand new model of the Nintendo Switch to the Nintendo Switch family of systems. And that is called the Nintendo Switch OLED model. And here in the House of Mario, we're going to run you through some of those features. It now has a 7-inch display with vivid colours and crisp, crisp graphics. Your games would have never looked this good, well, at least since the PlayStation Vita that came out in 2012. It now has a wide adjustable kickstand, so you can say goodbye to those embarrassing moments at the pub when your Nintendo Switch falls over on the bar and your mates pay you out because they're just that rough, disgusting kickstand that was on the 2017 model. You can say goodbye to that. The Nintendo Switch also has a brand new dock that now has a LAN port within it. For the first time in Nintendo history, you can have a wired connection to the internet without having a silly adapter. Disgusting! It also has 64 gigabytes of internal storage, so you can put The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild on there at least 5 times. And last but not least, it has amazing onboard speakers for enhanced audio. Imagine what The Legend of Zelda will sound like with these speakers. But to be honest, that's just some of the features that come with the Nintendo Switch OLED model. But that's nowhere near the amount of features you were expecting, since all of these rumors for the Nintendo Switch Pro were going around. It's pretty much not that at all. And for that, I'm sorry. I am. G'day everybody and welcome to the House of Mario, the South Australian Nintendo podcast that is backed by a 120 Power Star rating. I'm your host, Drew Agnew, and here we go again. Woohoo! This week on the show, we're going to be talking about the newly announced Nintendo Switch OLED, a copy of Super Mario 64 selling for $1.5 million, and much more. Yeah, it's a fair bit in the bros.
Yeah, that is a lot.
That
Jesus
is.
Christ.
To talk all about that is my good mate, Bros DeWitt.
Special thanks to Big Biff as well. That was very heartwarming and very passionate way to talk about the OLED.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Nintendo representatives these days, they're really into their job. They really care about the product.
Man, yeah, look, and I understand it. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sort of like on the actual OLED, but he sold it. He sold it very well. He was like, you're never going to be embarrassed at the pub again. And you know what? That hit home because I remember all the times my Switch fell down because on the bar mat, it doesn't sit stable enough.
Yeah.
And it just fell down. You know, that was depressing times.
It's one of the worst moments in gaming history.
Oh, man. You have no idea. You have no idea. Yeah. It's adjustable too now. You only had one way to stand it up before.
Yeah, now you can put it at an angle where you can't even see it. Yeah, really test out those viewing angles.
We really sound like shills at the moment. It's probably not a good thing.
Nah, we're not shills. We'll be talking plenty more about it later on.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah. But Bryce, it's been a good week so far. I'm glad to see you here in the chair again.
Yes.
And we've actually got a brand new Apple Podcast review as well, Bryce.
Holy crap.
So it's from Writes on Keyboard Quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
That's real good.
Very, very happy for you.
It's a good name. So they say, relatable, funny Nintendo greatness. This podcast is literally so funny and easily deserves 5 stars. Straight to the point. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Writes on Keyboard Quickly.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I bet you wrote that pretty quickly too. Yeah. No, yeah. Good stuff, man. Thank you very much. We appreciate these reviews whenever we get them.
We do very much. If you'd like to leave us an Apple Podcast review, please do on your Apple device or God forbid, maybe make an Apple device on your Samsung.
Ooh.
That could work as well.
Make an Apple device on your Samsung.
Make an Apple device out of your Samsung.
Wow. Imagine emulating an iPhone on a Samsung phone.
Now, why would you do it? So you can leave a review for the House of Mario.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's it. That's literally it. You know, or you could just be archaic as hell and download iTunes.
Mm. Mm.
Don't about that.
Yeah, it'd be pretty archaic, wouldn't it?
That would be very archaic.
It'd be pretty archaic, but that's all right. You know what? As long as it gets us a review.
That's the main thing. That's the main thing.
That's all that matters, man. Yeah. That's all that matters.
All right, Bros. So this week, we haven't done a Guru Geek Out in a while. I'd like just to point out our trip the other day. We went for a fast food trip. Had a lot of fun.
We did.
Yeah, we haven't caught up in a long time outside of doing this. Yeah. So it was good just to sort of sit in the car, talk. We went to Hungry Jack's, KFC, McDonald's.
We went everywhere. We
did the trifecta.
We went everywhere, man. Got some burgers and chicken, man.
Mm.
Sat in line for a fucking...
Yeah, McDonald's was pretty
rough.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, we were in the line for like an hour there. And that wasn't even for us. That was just for a couple cheeseburgers for the missus.
Yeah. And then they didn't even have the ice cream.
No, they didn't even have the ice cream. And we're like, fuck.
Jesus. What are they doing over there?
God damn it.
At least there's two McDonald's in town now. So
yeah, that's right.
We went to the other one. God forbid. Bryce would have had his... He would have been neutered if he didn't get that ice cream.
Oh, no.
He would have got back to Jade and she would have just had the knife ready to go.
That wouldn't be too good, would it?
It wouldn't, no.
No. Mm. No. I already have two kids and I don't plan on having more, so I guess it wouldn't be the end of the world, but, you know, yeah, it would be a bit sad.
The blood loss would be pretty ordinary, though.
Pretty ordinary. Yeah. Yeah. The blood loss might kill you, but, you know, that's just life.
That is just life, yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And also, I want to give a shout out to Sean Capri again. He started up a new podcast, Nintendo Drive. I see some people in our Discord listening to it. They really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to point out, other guys, go and check it out as well. Yeah. Sean is actually going to join us in a couple of weeks on the podcast.
Is he?
Yeah.
There you go.
Asked him. He said, okay. I'm like, cool.
Beautiful. What's he joining us for then?
I don't know. Talk Nintendo.
Okay.
Man, we could. Don't know what's happening in a couple of weeks. Nintendo could announce they might take the OLED model back. Might say we're taking the screen out. It actually comes just with a bunch of chips, and you've got to go and buy the screen yourself.
Nintendo Labo, build your own Switch edition.
That'd be cool. It would not be cool.
Well, no, because you see, they wanted to test the brains with cardboard, so which is why they released really expensive cardboard. They were like, I wonder how many people would just. You know, do the labor work for us and just build their own Switch. So they tested it with cardboard, moderate success. They're like, you know what, fine, we can save labor costs. Just get them to make it themselves.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I was watching an episode of SWAT the other day, and these drug dealers were bringing in cocaine by infusing them with cardboard boxes. And they brought in their supplies in those boxes.
Right.
They were just piggy banks. And they smashed the piggy banks, don't care about them. But then they take them back and like melt the cocaine back off of this, off the cardboard. It's very, very chemistry. Don't understand how they did it. Don't know if it's real. But maybe that's what Nintendo were doing with Labo. They were just getting cocaine across the world.
You know, it could be too.
Do you reckon that was an option?
who within Nintendo runs the cocaine business?
Don't know. Have to start from the top. I have to be Farrakhala, surely.
Well, all right. We know where to start then.
Yep. Farrakhala, we're on to you, mate.
If he ever hears this, we're sorry.
Yeah, we're really sorry.
We don't mean it.
We do like your company and your products for the most part. For the most part.
Yeah. And so, you seem to be doing okay. Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah, they're doing all right. We don't see you much. You don't call in on Nintendo Direct quite often, but...
No.
No.
Oh, well.
Anyway, Bryce, you got a Nintendo a Guru Geek Out as well?
Guru Geek Out. I've been consuming a lot of stream content. And I mentioned this before the show. I've been watching a lot of stream content because all of a sudden critically acclaimed MMO Final Fantasy XIV that comes with a free trial that goes all the way up to level 60 and includes Heavensward entirely free, that's blown up really big. I've played the game for many, many years, like 8 years now. So it's really quite the sight to see, actually. A lot of like WoW content creators, and like this cannot be said, like, you know, any bigger about MMOs, but once you pick your first MMO, like the one you really, really enjoy, you never come off it. You pretty much stick with it, right? It doesn't happen very often that people will come off that train and move on to a new MMO. Because all the time and dedication that they put into that one thing, they're very passionate about it. But we saw a few content creators over the last month, I'd like to say, sort of jump onto the train. And then last week, WoW's biggest content creator, Asmund Gold, moved over to have a break from WoW because WoW's not really doing hot shit right now. It caused a huge influx of more people to sort of jump on the train. Asmund's first stream on Final Fantasy XIV hit up to, I think it was like 250,000 viewers or something like that. It was quite huge. Obviously, you know, if you're a Twitch viewer, you realize that number is quite big for a concurrent viewer count. For the last week, it's been like watching all these new people with, having that MMO experience sort of come from WoW and all that, checking out the game and, you know, having a good time, and it's really bumped up everything. It's caused the game to stop selling on the Square Enix store because they've physically run out of complete edition keys. So they have to actually generate more. And, you know, when you're talking about digital editions of things, you don't think that's a possible thing. But, yeah, and if they haven't generated enough keys to keep on the store, it definitely is. So they had to do that. That stopped there for now. Every North American world during peak hours is completely full and you cannot create a character there. You have to wait until enough people log off for you to create a character.
Mm.
It has blown up something massive. And, with that game being quite the success story that it is, considering its beginnings, I'm very glad to see it take that rise. It's a game that I have a lot of passion in. So, I guess that's my geek out, is that I love this game, and I've always loved this game, and I've always talked about it in the context that I love this game. And I'm glad that it's finally getting the attention it deserves in terms of, like, you know, the MMO communities at the very least being how they are.
Yeah, awesome.
Happy man.
Like, my game is going well.
The game is going well. The game is going well. Yeah. I've got my own little community there. It's good. It's good, man.
Yeah. Have you had any problems on Australian servers trying to do stuff, or has it been business as usual?
Oh, well, you know, Australian servers won't be out. We're on Japanese servers. Like, Japanese is the home for Australian players. It has been for, you know, 8 years. Australian servers will be there in 6.1, which is early next year. So a lot of people who are planning to move over to the Australian servers, they're getting all their stuff ready, you know, they're getting all prepared to move over with their guilds and what have you. So it's a time of preparation, and with a lot of the new players coming into the game, it's a time of discovery. So, you know, introducing new people to the game and teaching new people new things and, you know, all getting ready for this experience of being able to move over, because this will only be the third MMO that has Australian servers the other two being the two of the largest established MMOs, which is RuneScape and World of Warcraft. It took them about the same amount of time. RuneScape's always sort of had servers there, but there's a really easy to run. But World of Warcraft, it took about the same amount of time to establish servers here. But apart from that, you know, in the 15, 16, 17 years of MMORPGs being a thing, maybe EverQuest as well, you tack on maybe another year on that, 18 years, only three MMOs have ever had Australian servers. So this is actually quite exciting. I can't wait for it to happen. Yeah, be able to play an MMO one-to-one, which is not something that I've ever had the pleasure to be able to do.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah, never. No, it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing. MMOs have existed for, you know, as long as an adult life, like a kid to adult life.
Yeah.
And we've never really had that much of a pleasure to have Australian servers, so it's definitely quite exciting.
Mm. Yeah, awesome. Mm. I've been thinking lately, I actually kind of want to give it a go.
You should.
Yeah, I should. Mm. I'll download it on...
You got a PS5 then?
Yeah. Oh, I can do it there too. I was thinking of just getting it on PC.
You can do that too.
Yeah.
You can just link them. Free trial account.
Yep.
Goes up to level 60. There's, you know, plenty of content there.
Yep.
You've got plenty to do.
Okay. I bet I do.
Oh, yeah. You know, like even just between those two expansions, if you want to do everything in between those two expansions, that's thousands of hours worth of content. Yeah. It's not all necessary, of course. There's a lot of optional content to do, but, you know, good portion of it, you know, even if it's just to experience the story. You know? There's a lot there, man. A lot there, man.
Yeah. I've got a little bit of a time sink I'm going to be putting into on Switch, though. I played the demo of Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Yeah.
And I only played a little bit last night, so I played like 2 hours, but played from like 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock or something like that, and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I was going to get the game eventually anyway. It came out last Friday, and now I'm like really keen. I think it is honestly, if you're into Pokemon, like give it a go. It's a lot of fun. It's like a different sort of take on the monster collecting, hatching genre, which is really cool. So I'm looking forward to getting into it. I've been looking up like a lot of videos at work today.
Yep.
Just looking at reviews and tips and all that type of thing. So looking forward to it. I'll talk more about it when I've actually put some decent amount of time into it. But
yeah, I want to get it eventually, but it's in the middle of so many other releases that I'm kind of just like,
Fair enough.
You know, like obviously we've just had Mario Golf. You've got, not even that long before Mario Golf, you had Game Builder Garage. You've got Zelda coming up this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus, man.
Skyward Sword's come up quick.
There's so much. Yeah, it actually has, now that I think about it. Like, you know, I remember not that long ago it was announced. It felt like a few weeks ago. Jesus. Man.
Yeah, it feels like a fair while ago.
No, it doesn't feel like that for me at all.
Doesn't it? It feels like a few weeks.
Feels like a few weeks.
Feels like a long time, but yeah. I don't know,
man. Yeah. It's just definitely crept up on the radar, you know? Yeah.
Have you been playing much, or are you looking forward to playing much like Skyward Sword this week, or what's your plan of attack?
I'm going to get it. All right. As it's available, I'm going to get it. And I'm just going to slam through it, because if I don't slam through it and I stagnate and I stop playing, I won't play through all of it.
Yeah.
And that's my problem. So, yeah, got to do it.
Yeah, I might do the same thing. I don't know. We'll see how we go. But this week, I'd never play it again. I don't know. No. I'm mainly just looking forward to just playing through again and doing a spoiler cast. That's where my enjoyment's going to come through, just sort of doing content around it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like if I don't get through it, right, as fast as possible, I'm just going to regret every single step. You know, like that's the thing, is like I love Skyward Sword for the things it brings and the things it does, until you get to the point where you start seeing flaws in the system, right? Like at the start, you're like, oh, cool, this is awesome. Yeah, whatever. And then you start seeing good cracks, and then it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So if I don't sit down and just, you know, run through it.
Yeah, make it nice and quick so it's just a blur. Yeah. All right, let's stop dilly-dallying around, Bryce. Last week, big announcement out of nowhere. I think it was just like the day we released the podcast, so it's been like a good week since this was announced, but we'll go through and sort of discuss our thoughts on the new Nintendo Switch model, the new OLED model, as Big Biff quite nicely laid out for us. So let's jump to the news and bring that up.
Woohoo!
That
on? Nintendo Switch OLED
model. My body is still
on. So Nintendo Switch finally got an upgrade, Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
The Switch Pro, which we've been talking about, which we've been hearing about, all these rumors from Bloomberg and God knows who else, they turned out to be maybe 10% right and the rest wrong. So Nintendo announced Nintendo Switch OLED model is coming out October 8th, the same day as Metroid Dread comes out.
Yeah.
Has a 7-inch display, has a new wide adjustable kickstand, has a LAN adapter in the brand new dock, which is useful, which is a nice thing. You don't have to go and buy an adapter if you have this model. Has new onboard speakers with enhanced audio. And that's it. That's what it has. So,
hooray.
I think it's a nice looking unit, especially the new white dock with the white Joy-Cons. Looks nice. I like the nice sleek new design. It kind of makes the other dock look like pretty old just by comparing them. Yeah. So that's always a good thing when they announce this. But just with the whole like expecting a spec bump like aside, what do you think of the new model? Will you be getting one? Are you putting a pre-order in? What are your sort of first impressions of this new model?
No pre-order.
No Predator for Bryce.
No. I'll pick it up next year around the time Zelda probably hits, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. I mean, I know a million and one people that wanted an upgrade, not a, you know, consistent flow into something
just a better,
that's only yeah. a little bit better.
Just a better panel for the screen. Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, I'm sure there are people like Simon who will be happy because he hasn't bought a Nintendo Switch yet and he's like, there's no bezels. But like in terms of me, I'm just like, oh man, like this, it looks good and everything, but I've got no interest in it and that sucks. You know, if they're gonna make a partnership like that, I would have thought that maybe they would have thought it out a little bit better than just what it is. You know, the Ethernet port is kind of wasted anyway, because if you don't really care about that, which you realistically, yeah, you probably should care about an Ethernet port. But even if you don't, it took the place of a USB port, so it actually gives you less modulability than the original dock. Which sucks. The unit itself looks clean, looks nice. And what was the price difference like?
Yeah, so the normal Switch is $470 and this one is $540 Australian. So it's a decent jump. Like it's not like in the US it's a $50 jump to the new one at
since here it's about
$350. Yeah, so you know it's quite a big jump and for not much really enhancements. If you're going into this who is a current Switch owner, you know, it is a pretty expensive jump up. But I guess for myself, like I pre-ordered like the day of. I rolled over in bed, checked EB Games. Yes, there it is. Pre-ordered straight away. You can still pre-order at the moment, time of recording this. It's not selling out.
No, because it's not a substantial upgrade.
Yeah. And like I'm getting it because, you know, I play a lot of Switch. I love Switch. I wanted a better screen. That was probably one of the things one of the more excited features I was looking for. Probably parallel with a bit more RAM and stuff to make games run a bit better. But apart from that, I'm pretty happy with this. For the price jump, that's where I'm a bit more skeptical. Like it probably should have come in at the current Switch price. Because the Switch at the moment, it's 4 years old. That technology has gone down in price, but that's just something to, I guess, not expect from Nintendo. They never gave a price drop to the Wii U.
I mean, it's just kind of irritating in that regard, because like looking at it from the perspective of somebody who just went and bought, like I went hard in on the next generation. I went and got like a, you know, big 65-inch TV with like all the works needed for, you know, next generation consoles to run at, you know, what would be considered their best, right? I paid that price tag, got in and, you know, sort of moved forward, whatever. But I did that also knowing that within the next anywhere from 2 to 5 years, the TV that I bought is going to be significantly cheaper than what I bought it at cost price. But I wanted to get in on the generation, made sure I had the best hardware possible for it so I could really make a good, you know, call right out the gate. You know, with this, like you said, the prices on the old parts for the old Switch, they're down low now in comparison. So why they're still selling it at that cost point? I mean, it's a Nintendo thing anyway. You know, they don't ever drop price, but they really, really, really need to start learning to do it. This should be $470, I think. I don't think there really is an excuse for that. It should take the original price. And like the sale price for the Switch is probably a better price point for the old one. $430. Usual sale price point.
Yeah, it usually goes down. I think EB Games had a sale recently where it was around about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about $430. Yeah. I think that needs to drop down to the standard and then that needs to take place at the $470. But I think they got I think they might have got a bit ahead of themselves and thinking, oh, we put a new battery in this thing, so. Kind of like, yeah, new battery doesn't really qualify for anything. Nintendo should just have a good battery.
It didn't have a new battery. It had an improved processor because they swapped them out because the original one was so hackable. So that changed to the red box. You know, new improved, more efficient processor. It's just better for battery drain. That's what it was because they put it out like, oh, new battery, buy this one. which I did with the Mario Limited Edition and that, like get rid of my old one.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's heart of the hack. It's not open at a hardware level.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't have that problem. I still have mine.
Yeah, I didn't want my old one anymore. Didn't want it. It's funny.
Getting rid of my old one.
No. When I traded in my Switch, it felt so bad. I like, you know, just going through the process of system resetting it and stuff. I'm like, oh my God, it felt so. I'm getting rid of an old friend.
Well, we've built the podcast on that Switch.
Yeah.
Just like mine. We built the entire podcast on that Switch pretty much.
Yep. Now the podcast is going down the drain.
Yep. Shame on you, boy. It's all your fault. You started a chain reaction.
Whoever bought that Switch secondhand at EB Games now owns the House of Mario, just to let them know.
Yeah, they're just like teleporting to this room as soon as they hand over the money.
Hope they're nice. What the fuck? Hope they're nice people.
Yeah, well. You did it, my friend. You did it.
Yeah.
No one else to blame. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Yeah, so I am looking forward to this coming out. Like I said, I've got it pre-ordered. I'm not going to be trading in anything towards it, so I will be buying it outright pretty much because I'm not trading in my red Switch. And that's another thing too. I just really wish this thing was like a different color than black because I've got my nice red one. I'm like, I've got to choose between a red body and a nice screen, you know?
God. It's just really annoying because like thinking of like the, I was thinking about it the other day, but the Monster Hunter Rise Special Edition that came out. Like, oh, that's a good unit. That's a good unit. I like that. I really want it. I'm like, but I know that there's something coming. And now I'm like sort of questioning myself. I'm like, I almost wish I went and bought it. Like, I'm not all that fussed, like, by the slightly bigger size and the dock, you know, with the disadvantage it has. Like, it looks nicer maybe, but the disadvantage it has, a bit harsh. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, maybe they'll announce like a Breath of the Wild special edition one or something like that, and then I can really jump in hard on that. That'd be nice.
They will. I'm buying it at launch, knowing full well that I'll be like, oh, that's a nice one, and I'll probably trade it in towards that.
I'll buy.
Yeah. No. I probably will because I learned with the 3DS, like there were heaps of special editions and like the 2DS and stuff where I. Looking back now, I do wish that I bought for collective purposes.
Yeah.
And now with the Switch, like I'm 27, I've got enough sort of income to be like, all right, I'm going to go and buy these things that I enjoy for the collection for later on.
Yeah.
And so I just want one of each model, let alone the fact I will use this one.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you've got how many lights hanging around now? If I can use one of them.
Two. I've got two.
Mm,
one's yellow, one's a special edition Pokemon one.
That you don't touch?
Yeah. No, I don't touch it.
We've got a live chat going on, and actually Dash just put in there a little story of his. This is really interesting. So in regards to like trading in and stuff, he said, funny story, I traded in my Vita. Usually they send them back to head office to format. About 4 years later, went back to the same store to buy a secondhand Vita. Turns it on and it's my Vita.
The fuck?
Because he's still signed into it.
Dude.
That's crazy, man.
That's really scary on your behalf too. Like if someone bought it, they have access to your account too.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But still, yeah, that's really something. Like you would think.
That is true love. That is true love. He found his Vita again. His Vita was not ready to part with him.
I think that's the thing is like maybe just with Vita, maybe at the time you traded it in, maybe it just wasn't worth it. Like it was a time when the Vita was dying down and like nothing was happening. And so they just stopped sending them back to HQ and just started reselling them straight out the store. It's possible.
Mm. Yeah, because they're worth a fair bit now in Vitas. People are like,
oh yeah, because they're hackable.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Get on that like the PSP did.
Everyone loves
it. Yeah. So
PSP was good. Like I didn't have a Vita, but I had that. Yeah. Good system to hack that one.
So, obviously, you're not over the moon. You haven't gone and pre-ordered one.
No.
I've pre-ordered one, but I'm not, like, over the moon either.
I won't pre-order one. I'll wait until I hear about a Zelda Special Edition, because let's be real, it's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. And that's what I did with the new 3DS XL when it came out. I'm like, I don't really need that. Then they announced the Majora's Mask one, like, not long after, to be honest. It was like a month or two after they released the new 2DS. And then I'm like, oh, that's the one. So I really hope it's not like 2 months after. Then I'll be really pissed. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
I do like the white dock though, so I'm not too fussed regardless.
The white dock is really cool, but I'm just curious to see like what they'll do in special edition docks, and like, because obviously like you've got two standard colours now, you've got a black dock and a white dock. How they'll handle that, whether they'll start like putting specific special editions on the white dock and then others on the black dock because it looks better, or like what have you. Like it could be a real big mix match.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Like personally, if I was to pick up one of them, I'd pick up the white dock because that looks good. I really like it. I just wish that the unit itself could be a different colour, but you know. Yeah.
Some people like the way it looks just in the dock with like the black switch and the white dock. Similar to like the PS5, how it's got the white middle. Oh, sorry, the black middle and the white, obviously.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The fins coming out of it.
Seto Kaiba.
Yeah, but I don't look at the Switch as it is in the dock. I don't care about how it looks there. I care about how it looks when I'm holding it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So then it's just, when you're holding it, it is just a black Switch with a bigger screen.
Yeah.
And a fucking awesome stand.
Actually, something that I did notice on it, though, is that it looks like it could have possibly fixed that stupid fucking air vent problem that everybody has. Regardless of who owns their Switch.
Looks a little bit different. And it also looks like the infrared sensor is on the top now instead of in where it was just above the screen in the bezel before.
Mm.
Now it's thinner. I guess it can't fit there. So now it's on the top.
Yeah.
So like a couple of small things have changed around. What I am a little bit worried about, you know how the kickstand on the current Switch gets a bit flimsy and it falls off and whatever? I just really hope that with these Switch, what happens if what about if you have the same problem, but it's the whole back? That's what I'm worried about.
Please don't make me have horror visions already. Like, yeah. You know, I don't want it.
That's what I'm worried about. Like, if that whole back becomes wobbly, then it's
then you can use it as a clapper at a soccer game.
Yeah, like those really annoying hands doing the sound. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, yeah. Good old clacker. Clack, 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 clack. Hey, guys, please sign my Switch. I've got FIFA on it. I'm the idiot that bought FIFA for the Switch.
I got FIFA Legacy Edition.
Oh my god. Yeah. Anyway, I definitely know what you mean there. I've been through a few kickstands.
A few.
Well, Evie's is stuffed, and then mine was stuffed, and then I replaced mine, and like, you know, put it back in and tried to put it back in. That didn't like the kickstand. The kickstand's just shit. Like, we can't deny that. It's definitely shit. Whatever. And then the kids lost mine. So I was like, well, shit, that's great. And then I found Evie's Evie's kicking around. I'm like, well, I'm taking that. You lost it anyway, for one. And for two, I have a 512 gig SD card I would rather protect in there. So I put it on there and took a bit of sticky tape and just went, I'm like, I'm not fucking around anymore.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there's a few things we're really hoping that the Switch Pro or whatever the rumored model with these 4K and stuff, like the 4K, I would have really liked that, but it's not a make or break for me. I don't even have a 4K TV yet. I will have one, but don't have one yet. But I was just really hoping for like so many small things, just real simple things as well. Just Bluetooth audio would be really nice to have, just like these small things. I don't know if they can do a software update, but they've obviously got no interest. It's been 4 years. I don't think they give a fuck, to be honest. Same with just like themes and these quite simple things just to update through software. But
I mean, yeah, but that should just be a standard across the whole family of system.
Yeah, as it would be if it happened. But
like, here's the thing, though, is that just, I know that the Switch is kind of hard to do all in the console, and that's quite obvious, you know, and that's why that there isn't a substantial upgrade. You know, they could update the chipset, have like a better processor in there, whatever, and that would probably help. But as in terms of pushing it to 4K, it would be really difficult to do that without some other sort of help, which is why the dock could have had something in it to help it, or, you know, push it to that level. I just think, like, you know, if you're going to market a new Switch now, especially like obviously with the OLED, a lot of people are very unhappy with it because they're kind of just like, this is not what we were wanting, Nintendo. They're really out of touch with their fans at the moment. It's quite obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had, like done the OLED, what they've done with the OLED, which is fine, you know, that's fine. It performs roughly the same, like in handheld mode. That's cool. It just looks nicer in handheld mode, which is fine. You know, that's okay. But then they had this dock that had a bit more of a meaning than just being the connected to the TV. Like, you know, you've got like a cooling unit in there with like maybe some extra processing power through like a connectable graphics card, because it's a thing you can do these days. They have them. Like, you know, inside the actual dock, and maybe it might take a little bit more time for it to, like, when you plug in, for it to reprocess everything. And, like, you know, maybe that would take away from the experience a little bit, but the payoff, like, that you get out of it is better. You know, you can hit 4K and sort of stuff like that, and it just, you know, the extra processing power helps in, like, the overall vision of things, I suppose. I don't think it would have been too hard for them to do that, even if it meant jumping up their price point another, you know, $200 to match current market price for new consoles.
Yeah. Like, I personally would have been pretty happy just to pay for, like, a really pretty advanced Switch. Like, you have...
Yeah.
Like, you have the current one, which, even compared to one with, like, the dock doing processing work and OLED screen and all this type of thing, if, like, you know, $700, I'll be, you know... I'll be happy to pay that. I don't know. Obviously, it's like a premium product that like only, say, gamers or tech enthusiasts will go out and buy. But that's why they have the light and keep the current Switch around. But I think this is like a half step to something else, honestly. I think this is going to be something that's going to push the current Switch out again, and then maybe brace us for that price point. Like, jump up the $50. It might not even been a thing where they want the extra $50. It might just be a thing where they're trying to educate their customers, be like, yes, a little bit more. We're not going to jump straight to 400 or 450 or 500. It is going to be an incremental step by $50 with this smaller upgrade, which people will be happy about if you're playing handheld. But then, say, next year when chip shortages and that sort of situation in the world dies down a little bit more and they can get a more supply out to retailers and that, then that's when they'll go for that type of thing. Because a lot of us were confused, like, all right, so a new model's coming. There's a chip shortage. Nintendo's very confident that they'll be able to still supply retail stores. How is that? That's because they're not changing their chip. They've already got them. Yeah. And maybe they
think
that's
what it comes down to. But
maybe they wanted this year to be a brand new upped Switch. I don't know. They probably didn't, but theoretically they could have. And they could have just said, all right, we can't do it, but still include the OLED and the current sort of innards of the dock and stuff.
Do you think maybe that they're planning to phase out the old Switch? Well, I say old, but it's technically not old now.
Eventually, yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, like a year or so down the line.
They'll phase that out and replace that with the OLED as the base model.
Yeah, and then have like another model. When another model slides in there, the OLED will slide back and then the light's still there as like a real cheap entry point.
Yeah, I don't know. Because like at that level, you know, what will be on? We'll be on 5 years next year. I don't know. I don't know if they'd be preparing for what they would consider next generation. And whether that's going to be like another Switch console or whatever, like who the fuck knows at this point? It's Nintendo. But I think they've kind of got to keep what they're going for. They can't re-innovating again from what the Switch is would... I think that would harm Nintendo.
Do you see them going to like another console being like, say, Switch 2 or... just call it Nintendo, but we already get the idea of what a Nintendo device is now. It is a handheld that docks onto the TV. Or do you see them just be like, all right, Switch OLED, Switch this, Switch that, and just keep going like an iPad sort of upgrade system? Because, like, you know, we've been talking about it for ages now. The rumors of Switch Pro have been out there for a long time. And this is going to be the last goddamn episode I'm ever going to say fucking Switch Pro. Because the saddest thing about this is it just doesn't end it won't end the rumors about the Switch Pro, about more RAM, about more graphics power, more CPU, this type of thing. It will not end the rumors.
No.
Which is the saddest part. It's not the fact that, you know, we won't get upgraded games and all that type of thing. I was really looking forward to that, but just the idea of it, like, we'll still see, like, a Bloomberg article saying, oh, no, I've heard something. It's like, fuck off. you blew your load before. We'll hear it from Nintendo next time, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know. I do think that business model would work better for Nintendo, and I think they kind of probably need to embrace it at this point, to be honest. Like, it just seems to make sense. Like, you know, they've put everything they could possibly want in the last two generations into a single fucking console that's outperformed at least the last one, not the Wii quite yet, but it will eventually.
It will. By the end of the year, it will take over.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, you know, that's the thing, is, like, they combined the last two generations, put it into a console that is also now a handheld, which means they can merge their markets together to create only one unit, which means that everybody's buying the same unit and they're not buying into extra part costs, which means they're profiting more. There's literally no loss here for them with the Switch. Mm. So for them to upgrade the next Nintendo system into another Switch and then just, like, sort of keep going on and on, their days of innovating are over, I think.
Heard it here, Farakawa. Your days are over.
No, like, innovating the hardware space. Like, with the software space, if they want to make some stupid gimmicky thing, I reckon they definitely could, yes, but you can't get much more innovative than this.
You won't stop the crazy toy maker from making some weird stuff to put onto it, whether it's new controllers.
They could put stuff onto it, that's fine, but the console itself, they don't need to innovate it anymore, like, at all. If they're going to do any innovation whatsoever, maybe make, like, a box for the Switch that is, like, you know, I can only be played on the TV, you know, something like that.
That's a crazy concept. Game console for the TV.
But
Nintendo's done it again.
Just, you know, but, like, as for taking away from what they're currently doing, like, it just seems stupid to even think of doing that, you know. We'll never see another DS unit again. I'm fairly certain of that. Mm.
Don't know. Just as you're saying it now, saying, you know, Nintendo's innovation days are over. That's making me go, oh fuck, that's a bit sad. It's always really exciting seeing new stuff. I know that the Switch is just what people want. It's what I want. But the idea that they have to stick to this for now on, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they can.
Nah.
Be a bit more flexible with it.
Listen, because, like, the next step up for video gaming is injecting that shit into your brain and living it. Like, looking at video games now, they look so fucking advanced. You're pretty much playing real life. You're not going to get any better in graphic fidelity. In terms of gimmicks, every other fucking thing under the sun's being done. VR's being done. Motion controls are being done. They're still being done today. You know, we build fucking cardboard to play video games, for fuck's sakes. We use video game controllers that look like drums to play drums, or guitars to play guitars. We have toys to life through Amiibo, which are also accessible on the Switch. They're already doing that. Nintendo's already packed everything that they've got into one fucking console. You think they're going to ditch all that to bring in a new innovation? Not when they've just merged a handheld and console markets. You know, in order to create one streamlined unit where they're not paying for two different systems and two different chipsets and two different whatevers. I don't think it's going to happen.
Mm. Well, they got no choice now. They're sort of, the vision is one. So whether they want to divide it again or change it up, that's...
If they divide it again, that's up to them.
Yeah.
But. Well, if they divide it again, one of the others not coming back, that's the end of the story. Like, yeah. And that's going to ruin it for everyone.
Yeah, it is interesting too, because, you know, obviously the 3DS went well, the Wii U went very poorly, and now of the Switch, they've gone on record before, like, the Switch was just a make or break console for Nintendo. That was going to determine their future and how they sort of develop software from then on. But with the Switch as well, it's just your eggs in all one basket.
It literally is everything. It's all in one basket. Every bit of innovation that they've held for the last, what is it, 2007 was the Wii?
2006, yeah.
2006. For the last 15 years, everything they've done in the last 15 years is in one console right now. One.
No, there's not two screens on the Switch though.
Home, but it has the portability and it has a touch screen. You know, if you wanted to play DS games on it, you absolutely could.
Take the Joy-Con off. You just use it as a stylus, just scratching it on the screen.
You just hold it. Yeah, you just hold it in one hand. You have them split screen down the middle, and then you just use one side for the touch. You could.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
like they literally, it just they've every innovation that they've brought to the table in the last 15 years is now on one console. There's no way in hell they're going to break the norm for that. And if they do, they're stupid. That's the end of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just trying to add some devil's advocate points.
Yeah, and
just whatever. But I love the Switch, but I don't want it to be. I don't want to be in 20 years and having like the exact same thing, because I just think Nintendo is best when they're really experimenting.
I don't think in 20 years they're gonna have the exact same thing. That's not necessarily what I mean. Like, I think their handheld and console markets need to be merged from now on, and I think that is how they're going to be. That is what a Nintendo system will be.
Mm.
What innovations they do around that will be completely separate.
Yeah.
Like, there's no ifs and or buts about that. That's just how it's going to work. Nintendo dominate the handheld market, that's for certain. In a console market space, they're not as powerful for sure, but they need something that's powerful enough to run very much more prettier looking games, or something that looks actually look, even if it's not quite up to graphical fidelity, but somewhat of a graphical fidelity. You know, like even just thinking like back to Mario Galaxy and how good that looked for a Wii game and played in 480p, for fuck's sake. You know, looks good. Anyway, my point being, that's how they're going to have to do that from now on. It'll be merged. Joy-Cons have motion controls. You have touch controls on the touch screen. You've got everything. It's got everything that they could possibly want in one fucking gimmick thing. And if they ever bring back Virtual Console, they're 100% covered. If they ever bring it back. Like, I know that's a long stretch at this point, but if they ever do bring it back, it's all covered in one console, no matter what.
Hmm.
So, you know, I feel like that's how they've got to do it from then on. And then what they decide to do around that is another thing. Maybe, you know, they'll make a better VR system or something like that, where you put the Switch in, that is your main thing of it or whatever. It's more powerful at this point. It's got like 500 gigaflops of like dedicated WAM or some bullshit. You know, or like it runs off alien technology from the planet Zadnor, you know, 9724 or some bullshit. And
724 is a bit antiquated. I personally prefer 729.
Okay, that's all right. 729 then. 729 then. And then they like, then you know, that is your processing unit, and you can have like a VR adventure when you're like sitting at home, and then you can take that on the go, and you don't have to be VR anymore. You can just play it normally, or, you know, there's always something, you know, that they can do with it. But I think, like, as for the actual physical unit, that's what it has to come to. Just like how Xbox and PlayStation are very much solidified in there, we are a box next to a TV. That's how they're going to be from now on. They're like, we are a tablet you can take places.
Nintendo's like, we make a toaster looking device that you can slide a piece of toast looking device into, and you can play Mario Golf with some little paddles, which also go onto the side of that piece of toast.
That's right.
Wonderful stuff.
But like, that's it. That's all I got to say about it, really. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. No, I agree, Bryce. Definitely agree. But I think at the end of the day, just appreciate what you've got. Don't have to look forward to the future.
No.
Just pick up your Nintendo Switch and play the bloody thing.
Yeah.
Even if it runs some games at 10 frames a second, doesn't matter. Just enjoy it.
If you want the OLED, you don't want the OLED, it doesn't really matter. It is a very slight upgrade. And if you're really invested in your Switch, it might be worth your time. But at least like right now, I'm somebody that is invested in my Switch. I really love my Switch. I love my Nintendo hardware in general.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
But it's not an upgrade for me right now, because realistically, there are other things that I could be buying with that money. That's a lot of money. It's $530. That's, you know, not that far off a cost of a next generation console, or, you know, something probably a bit more substantial. So I will personally be using that money instead to buy a PS5 straight up, and I'll buy that later, because then I'll have the two next gen consoles under my TV with their own exclusives, and I won't be missing out on anything this generation.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call.
Yeah.
So, everyone, please be excited about Switch OLED model.
Yeah. it'd be fine.
And if you do want a dock, Nintendo is selling them on their site as well. I'm not sure about Nintendo Australia, but Nintendo America did clarify that if you want the new dock, you can buy it separately. So,
which is good.
So really, if you don't want the screen, you're missing nothing. Nothing.
Literally nothing. Yeah.
Because if you if you just play it on the console,
you can just buy the dock.
Yeah. Just buy the dock. Buy the nice white one. You're set.
Is the dock the same price as the old one?
It probably won't be. It'll be more expensive because it's white. I don't know. I hope it's not. I don't know if we've got a price confirmation for the standalone dock. Because they used to sell the docks around when the Switch launched. You could go to EB Games, Big W, etc. Go and get your dock. But now it's only for Nintendo. I guess they didn't sell enough standalone because they worked the $130 for the dock.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
So
I've got a couple of them kicking around. One of them's missing a back and like all that stuff. But like
Jesus,
that's what happens when you have kids, man.
Yeah.
But it is sort of. It would be kind of a cop out if they charge more for it, but it has less accessibility than the old dock, and I think that's the one thing that really ticks me off.
Yeah, it's just missing a USB port and
replaced it with a LAN port. Yeah. Which, yeah, I know, I understand, like, that saves you a bit of money in terms of, like, oh, well, I have to buy a Switch adapter now. But if you, if you never really gave a shit about it in the first place, then you're just missing a USB port. And if you're somebody that's going to smash adapt, like a Smash GameCube controller adapter, you're plugging that in, that's two USB ports gone, and you want another to hold the charger for your controllers, and you don't have it anymore.
Yeah, because my current situation, I've got a Pro Controller dock plugged into a USB port. And then if I want to do, say, Smash Brothers, it takes off two USB ports for the GameCube controllers, which I haven't used in a long time, but I do prefer using those controllers for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's three ports taken up, and you don't have those ports on the new dock.
No, it's just easier to keep them connected at the end of the day. And if you have one charger running out the back, that's like a docking charger for your Pro Controllers or something, or, you know, you have one of those charging stations that hosts both Joy-Cons and Pro Controllers. It's just good, better to have three USB ports, you know. But no,
Oh well. I guess moving on, we've just got some small news things to cover today. So Nintendo, they're re-releasing a Metroid amiibo along with Metroid Dread. So if you've missed out on the Super Smash Bros. Dark Samus amiibo, that's the only one that's been confirmed at the moment. But hopefully they bring back the Metroid and this Samus amiibo from Samus Returns.
They were really cool.
Yeah, I actually missed them because I was like, I went to the shop and I never saw them.
No.
They were like probably a very limited pre-order run and that was all. So if you're into Metroid and you would like some amiibo, definitely get them. I did manage to pre-order the Metroid Dread amiibo twin pack. It came back onto Big W, so I went onto the Big W website and got them there. I was pretty upset because they went in like 1 hour on pre-orders on EB Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I do wish I got it on EB Games because I'm in the running for it to be a level 5 member. So I've got to make sure I spend plenty of money.
Oh, EB Games, take my money.
So I've got to spend a lot of money before September 1st.
Yummy.
Yeah. So I've got to, maybe I should pay off my OLED Switch before then.
Oh, lovely way to look at it.
Oh, their reward system got me by the balls, Bros. Get me by the balls.
It's a significant jump in value if you are level 4 plus, though. I mean, you can't deny that much.
Yeah.
It's like an extra 25% value back on games. Like, that's a fair bit of money.
Shows you how much I spent because I bought my PS5, a Series S, traded in a Switch, which gives you double carats their currency.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously bought the new Switch. I've got a fair bit of hardware from there in the last 12 months.
Yeah, that's right.
It's racked up. They should like me, I think. Let alone the Pokemon cards. Holy shit. I think that's probably most of it, actually.
Yeah, a lot of Pokemon cards.
Pokemon cards.
Damn.
All right, so we just got some news about Monolith Soft and that their profit has increased by 138% thanks to Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition.
Amazing.
So this is from Nintendo Enthusiast, and the article reads, Monolith Soft has seen steady increase in profit over the past few years, but last financial year was one of the record books for Xenoblade Chronicles developers. According to a published report from Kampo, it was a Japanese government newspaper, Monolith Soft's profit for the financial year ended March 2021 with a whopping 1.17 billion yen for an increase of 138% over the previous financial year. The Xenoblade series developer took a 78% increase in profit during the previous financial year, with a final profit of 491 million yen, which is about $4.5 million with inflation. During the period, Monolith Soft worked on development of Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition and assisted with on Animal Crossing's New Horizons for its parent company, Nintendo. So, yeah, just a nice bit of financial information for Xenoblade Chronicles developer, Monolith Soft, one of our favorites in the Nintendo staple. Helps with a lot of Nintendo games getting made and out the door. So, yeah, good on them.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I love that company.
We talked about this after the show last week, Bryce, but Shigeru Miyamoto reveals that he's addicted to Pokemon Go. So, also yeah. From Nintendo Enthusiast, Pokemon Go is a game that I've sunk No, that is the start of the article. That's a weird way to say it. Pokemon Go is a game that I've sunk a lot of time into, especially during COVID-19 pandemic. Since launch, the game has grown exponentially, adding content from all 8 generations of Pokemon. There's no denying how popular Pokemon Go is, and Shigeru Miyamoto has revealed that he's addicted to the mobile game. Nintendo recently held its 81st annual shareholders meeting, which is a presentation focusing on Nintendo's performance from the previous year. This is usually followed by a Q&A session, with one of the questions asking about each director's favorite games. Here's the question that was asked and Miyamoto answered. So, question. People holding important positions at Nintendo should at least like games, even if they don't have the skills to create games.
Ouch.
But they do. They do if they're working at Nintendo. In order to know each director candidate as a person, I'd like to know about their favorite games. And Miyamoto's answer was, I basically tend to play the games I create myself, so I haven't been influenced as much by the games of other companies. That said, the first game that influenced me when I started my job as a game development was Pac-Man, and from a design perspective. I think Tetris is wonderful, and I'm currently hooked on Pokemon Go. This game, which I'm currently playing with my wife, is the dream come true of playing a game with my whole family. I've been enjoying Pokemon Go with my wife and neighborhood friends for some 2 years now. The average person playing Pokemon Go in Japan is probably around 60 years old. Laughs, end quote. So it makes a lot of sense because like...
Imagine like all these people down the street. It's like, oh, Miyamoto-san, let's play Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go? Oh, did you see that Caterpie? He's like, no, I did not. She runs back, tries and gets it. But it's one of those infamous stories how he came up with the idea for Legend of Zelda, going around as a kid, exploring. He wanted to make a game. It was all about that, catching that childhood sort of feeling, exploring a field. All that type of thing. So an actual game where he goes out and does that in person, it's very much up his alley. So
beautiful.
Yeah. I guess while we're talking about Pokemon Go as well, it's actually Pokemon Go Fest 2021 this weekend. So if you're going to participate, it's on Saturday and Sunday. There's events going over the 2 days. It's only a $5 US ticket. So it's not as expensive as it was in previous years. I don't think there's that as much content to sort of get around, but I'll definitely be jumping in this one as well. Looks pretty fun. There's what's going on Sunday? So there's the special research. Saturday, explore 4 themed rotating habitats, each with a collection challenge. Work together with trainers around the world to unlock bonuses from the global challenge area. So yeah, there's lots of stuff. I think there's a lot of fun sort of the last time how you've got like a goal sort of to achieve where it's catching a certain amount of Pokemon or whatever, and it all goes towards one big pool and that unlocks more stuff throughout the event. It seems like they're doing something similar for this one. So look forward to it. I joined in for like a raid the other day too in Pokemon Go. And once you finish the raid, it actually has like achievements in the game now. So when you finish, it says like who had the last hit, who did the most amount of damage and all this type of stuff. It gives you like a stat summary at the end.
Yep.
It's really nice. And I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Might create some toxicity though.
It might. Like, oh, you didn't do this. It said the one raid I did, it said that I did the most amount of damage. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it's me. I'm Drew.
Yeah, it's me.
It's me. I'm Drew. Peter.
All right.
Lois.
All right, so we just got some sort of community news stories now. So this is from Nintendo Life. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild hacker arrested for selling modified save data. The article reads, we've heard in the past about crackdowns on street sales of modern Nintendo hardware and games, but this story is slightly different. Back in April, Tokyo-based Chinese international Ichim Show posted an advertisement on a Japanese e-commerce site selling ultimate save data for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. In reality, this ultimate save data was actually just modified data, and Show was offered to make any changes buyers requested, such as boosted stats and abilities for the price of 3,500 yen. So that's about $32. One of the interested parties was actually from the preferential police, and the 27-year-old man was arrested earlier in the week under violation of the Unfair Competition Prevention Act in Japan. Sho admitted to the charges and further revealed how his sale of hacked save data dated back to December 2019.
Unfair competition in a single player game. How dare they?
In that time, he's earned around 10 million yen. His specific violation was providing paid services to circumvent technical restrictions placed on the Nintendo Switch by Nintendo. The data alteration, though, was done by unidentified accomplice. So, yeah, just Nintendo throwing their balls around.
Yeah, as they do. And they've been doing a lot lately.
Yeah, because they're not too happy about people hacking their software and stuff. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Like, obviously, this is bad and everything. But, like, just when you say that, I'm kind of just like, fuck, man, they're getting cocky lately. They're getting really cocky. Nintendo, I love you, but please don't go down that route. Like, you just got our respect back after the Wii U. Damn.
Damn. Well, they get really upset when people are making money out of their content, so...
Which is fine, yeah, but that's not necessarily all I'm talking about either, but, like, you know...
So this young man, he just made, like, a business out of, like, yeah, I'm just going to, like, rewrite your code and sell it on. So that, you know, it is a pretty shady thing. It's not exactly like piracy,
no.
Like putting it onto a disc and selling it on, but it's maybe the closest thing you can... almost do on a Switch without literally just downloading them and uploading them to SD cards and giving them out to people.
But like they're taking a lot of legal jabs at the moment, like whether they're moral or immoral or what have you, like they're taking a lot of legal jabs.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I'm kind of concerned. I kind of don't want them to go down that route of like being feared for their legal team. It's kind of annoying.
It's already happened, my friend.
Yeah, but like they could chill out a bit, you know.
Chill out.
A little bit. You know. Taking down all these ROM sites and stuff like that.
Just like, Furukawa, just chill out, bro. Chill the hell out, man.
Don't protect your property, ass. I'm kidding. You're allowed to do what you want. But just like, God, this shit gets in the media so much now. It's a little, yeah, a little infuriating, I guess.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And the last story, a sealed copy of Super Mario 64 has sold at an auction for $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Don't know how. So this is from my Nintendo
know.
News.
I want to know. Tell me.
So the article reads, as time passes, the price of retro video games has been climbing. Despite the price rise, the demand to purchase them has largely remained the same. Unfortunately, this has resulted in a situation where price gouging has become more noticeable, or in the case of the game being released more than 20 years ago, they've sold for very abnormal prices. Popular auction house Heritage Auctions recently concluded an auction of a sealed copy of Super Mario 64. In fact, the sealed copy was in such amazing condition that the Wata Games gave it a 9.8 rating on their scale. There is less than 5 sealed copies of this game in this condition, and it resulted in the copy selling in the auction for 1.5 million buckaroos.
That's pretty good.
This price has broken a new record for a single video game auction. Amazingly, the previous record holder had managed to do that only a few days ago. On July 9th, a rare copy of The Legend of Zelda on the NES sold for $870,000. The record holder from before that was a NES copy of Super Mario Bros. That sold in April for $660,000. So, oh my God, you should get your games. Just get a copy of, say, Assassin's Creed Unity. Make sure you keep it nice and pristine on Xbox One. In 20 years, everyone's going, oh, I need that copy of Assassin's Creed. I reckon they're going to age just as well as these old retro games from the past. What do you reckon?
That's like saying me with Pokemon cards. Yeah. They're definitely not, but like, you know, unless, like, if you keep a Charizard in good condition, you might get lucky, but I don't know about, you know, ever anything ever reaching base edition, base first edition.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, especially with these games, how they had cardboard boxes. You think back to when you were a kid, your Nintendo 64. Did you ever keep such a pristine copy?
Oh, fucking no. Nobody did.
Yeah, exactly. No one did. There's only five on record that have scored this this score of quality for the box, the manual, the cartridge and everything. So that's why they go opened for so much. It.
They've already just... God damn it. By opening it to get the manual out, they've already soiled it. God damn it. That's...
I don't know if they necessarily opened it. Like, I dare say they didn't.
Trying to like really open this. Like, you've got to open this with forceps with like fucking tiny cotton, like cotton layered tips on them, so you don't accidentally bend it a little bit, and then they'll like accidentally bend it a bit, and then it's all over. And it's like, fuck.
I'd be really interested to see where the price for a sealed copy of the NES Super Mario Brothers goes, because it's such a rare game, because most people just got it in a bundle with Duck Hunt on that shared cartridge. And then when like Rob and these other accessories came out and it was no longer bundled, then it came out separately. I wonder how much it's going to cost then. Because if Super Mario 64, like it's, that's not necessarily a under like non-popular game. Like,
No. Yeah.
So yeah. What are you smiling at me like an idiot for?
I'm just bringing this up. Dash said in chat, they didn't piss on it, Bryce. And I'm like, well, you might, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, they might as well have pissed on it, because that's how graders treat it. They do. Like, if you fucking, like, make one little bit of an itch, they're like, we see that. We've put it under a microscope. We see that. It goes down two grades. Fuck you. That's how it is. That's how they are. That's how grading goes.
That's why it got a 9.8.
That's why it got a 9.8, because somebody pissed on it.
Probably gets like a zero, surely, if someone peed on it.
But you get my point, though. Yeah. It's like, you know, and any little bit of a, like, I guess, alteration or tamper or anything like that, you know, that always seems to be how graders are. They're like, you know, they're really specific about it. And I mean, for good reason. They are graders for a reason. They want to whatever. But like, when I'm thinking about like a sealed copy of a game or a game that hasn't been opened or something like that, and then they have to like grade the manual quality and stuff like that, that means they have to open it, right? There's no way they're getting that manual out without it. So you would want to have to hope that they'd be really fucking careful with it. Because if they didn't, well, then obviously they're going to have to grade lower because they've just fucked with it. Yeah.
I just don't know how it's worth that much.
Because people hold nostalgia. People hold nostalgia.
Yeah, I know, but it's just...
Look at the fucking Charizard card. You know, what was it? How much? $200,000 for a piece of cardboard, Drew. Not even a video game, a piece of cardboard. A piece of cardboard that realistically, as a part of a packet set at the time, because it was like $5 a booster pack or something like here, you know, $200,000 American dollars, maybe about $300,000 something here, maybe $320,000 here, right? You got to look at it from the perspective of like when those cards came out, there was 1/10. So it was 50 cents a card. That card is technically only worth 50 cents. And now it's worth $320,000. You know, that's a serious increase. So saying a game which was, you know, $80 or I can't remember how much Nintendo 64 games were now. I can't remember, but, you know, something like that selling for 1.2 million. That's not out of the realm of possibility. Definitely.
Oh, well, obviously not. No. It's happened.
No, yeah. It's like 500 times the price of a fucking piece of cardboard Charizard. It's not a surprise that it sold maybe 6 times more than the Charizard card.
Yeah, well, like you just give it to your kid. Here you go, mate. Play Mario 64. They take it out and put it in. It's like, this sucks. This isn't PlayStation 5.
Oh, my God. Could you just imagine that?
No.
Holy crap.
No.
Imagine like somebody's just like, it's like Dexter's laboratory and this dad's got like this big secret vault underground that's got like 700 doors in front of it or whatever. And because he's got his DNA or whatever, he passed like all the like thumbprint tests and the like eye scans and whatever and all that shit, gets past it. He's just like, wonder what's in dad's secret game room. And he's like, what's this? Mario 64. He's just like, just fucking rinsing out of the box like,
Yeah, that would be.
Oh, that would be painful. Mm. Yeah. Never exist again.
I just want to clarify as well. Dash said that they've already done like the Mario Bros.
Mm.
So I knew that. I literally just said that. But like in the future when, say, these get even more rare, like what's it going to be then? That's just what I meant.
1.2 million. Like, let's take the Mario 64 into account. How old is Mario 64?
1996 or 1997.
Yeah. So when that game came out, you know, it's been 24, 25 years, nearly 25 years. So an extra 25 years time, you probably with inflation, you're probably looking at anywhere between 4 and 5 million.
Jesus. Yeah. It came out June 23rd, 1996.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dash posted it in there too. Yeah. Okay. I would say, yeah, with inflation and stuff like that as well, when it, if it's sold for 1.2 now, you another 25 years time, like you would think, oh, the natural progression is it'd be $2.4 million. Probably not, because there'll probably be a copy or two of it that are spoiled since then, you know, because we know what the human race is like and we can't fucking keep anything pristine. So then a copy like that, you know, it'll probably jump to something more like 5 million and then like another 5 years on top of that, maybe another copy gets spoiled, it'll be 10 million. It'll become a very expensive game, depending on how well you can hold it, you know. Yeah.
No, won't be me buying it anyway.
You sure?
Yeah. I do also apologize for the Facebook messenger ding in the background. But I actually messaged someone about a DSi XL to buy, and they have it up for $100. It comes with a few. What does it come with?
Let's see.
It comes with like 5 games. I'm trying to click on it here. It comes with 5 games. Asking $100 for it, and I said, I'll offer you 70. They've come back. They said it's available. They say it's for 85.
What are the games with it? That's the important question, Drew. Put you on Jeopardy. Ding, ding,
it's
ding,
loading.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's taking a long time to load. Here we go. So it comes with Crossword.
Jesus. Yeah.
Comes with and 3 Professor Layton games and Sight Training. This guy had a fucking blast with his DS. Playing. I just love it. He's like, yeah, you know, I love video games. I'm playing Crossword, Sight Training, and I'm doing, obviously, love Professor Layton. Got the trilogy. He loves stretching his brain. This
The Layton games would probably be worth some money.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Because the state of the cases look absolutely disgusting. They've got EB games, secondhand stickers all over them. But the DSi, it looks like it's in good condition and it still has the box. You never see the boxes. So for $85, I'm quite intrigued.
Hang on.
Quite intrigued.
Oh, wait, no. It's a manual.
Yeah, it's a manual. Yeah, it doesn't come with another.
It looked like a second one. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I never owned a DSi, so I've never seen the fucking manual.
Yeah. Well, that's the manual.
There you go.
It's a manual that highlights the DSiWare store.
It's a nice crimson one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crimson ones are quite nice. Quite like them.
Because I actually have bought a DSi XL on Facebook Marketplace.
Yep. Yeah.
I got it from somewhere in Melbourne. They shipped it to me. I got it for probably like $80 or something, but I got it and it was just like, it's like a baby just chewed on it. It was fucking disgusting. I didn't even want to touch the bloody thing. It was like, had like Have like dried food and that all over it. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Disgusting.
You gotta lick that off.
Mm. And the and there's a crack on the screen too. That kind of, yeah, that wasn't great. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. All right, Bryce, let's move into some House of Mario Red Coin releases. Then we'll
wrap it up.
Wrap it up, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Oh, Barossi, it's been a big week. Been a big week. Anything you're excited for this week?
My neck's cracking.
No, that's no good. No. So, first of all, we got Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin. You can get it for $80 on the Australian eShop. You can also get the deluxe edition for $90. You can get some extra costumes and all that. Personally, I reckon I will get the deluxe edition. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to get those nice little costumes for my character so that they can run around and have a good blast. Yeah, so very cool RPG. Go and get some eggs, hatch them. I'll talk about that later. I'm not going to go into it too much. Another one I'd like to highlight this week is Pictui. It's a Picross. It's a puzzle game to keep you on your toes. They were actually the developers recently on Nintendo Voice Chat, if you want to go and check that out, if you haven't listened to it yet. But the blurb here is a relaxing puzzle challenge for beginners and experts. Welcome to Pictui, a relaxing logic puzzle game where you fill in cells to solve puzzles and reveal pictures. Professor Ishida is your host, mentor, and friend. And they, it must be a quote from Professor Ishida here. They say, quote, "Oh, hello. Did you know your brain is kind of a muscle? Let's exercise your brain by challenging it with logic puzzles. Solving logic puzzles can expand your mind, and I look forward to sharing our journey together." So, for $13, I might actually pick this up. I've been wanting to get into Picross for a little bit, and this seems like a cheap edition. So, I'll get into it that way. It's published by Limited Run Games, and it's also by the same developer you might know. Mutant Muds Attack. Yeah. And that was a great game on 3DS. I really love that.
Yeah.
And last but not least is a... I don't know if this is a recommendation or not, Bryce, but it's called Songs of a Hero Definitive Edition. It's $27 on the eShop. And the whole premise of this game is it's a side-scroller game. You play as a knight trying to save a princess, but it's also a musical. So the whole time, your protagonist is singing. And the blurb here is a classic platform with a twist. A dynamic soundtrack and funny lyrics that sings the player's actions and responds to what is happening during the adventure. So I looked up a couple of Let's Plays and stuff for this game. It's a really interesting premise, but I'm not sure if the singing would just get really annoying. It's not like they hired the best singer for like an indie project. And I don't know. I watched it for about 20 minutes. So I'm like, I don't know if I need this in my life. Not quite sure, but definitely go and check it out. Just on YouTube and that. Go check out a review or something. It's an interesting concept at the very least. Just playing a kind of a standard platformer, but having it just narrated the whole time.
All I can think of is Cadence of Hyrule and the singing shopkeeper.
Mm. I'll see if I can bring it up on... See if I can bring up some of the music here. I can share with you guys. So, Songs for a Hero. Bringing us up nice and live on the show. Now, if I can just get gameplay, I might get someone else's video, then I'll get copyright struck for us. And we don't want that, do we?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Or do you want that? Do you want to get copyright struck?
Well.
On a podcast?
They're not getting much copyright out of it. We're not getting any revenue.
No.
Unless you're hiding something from me.
No.
Give me the money.
All right, so we're going to hit...
Give me back my son.
This is from Beach Pizza Gaming, and it says gameplay, so hopefully we don't get any... anything else over here, so...
Beach Pizza Gaming. It's going to be loud.
As a group, they might just sneak behind my back. Oh, there'll be a few moments when I will have to duck. But that will not protect me, so I shouldn't push my luck. There are so many serpents, they seem to crawl out of the earth. Although I had it coming because I am the one on their turf. I can see a statue on the other side of this tunnel.
So the thing is, can you put up with that for, say, like 5 hours?
Not 5 hours, but for a 2 hour journey, I'd be fine.
Mm. That's the thing, depending how long it is. If it's
it could be funny. Like, that's the thing is, like, it could get comedic at some point, right? And if it's comedic, that's where it'd shine, like, heaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is definitely one for my wish list, at very least, anyway.
Yeah, like, you know, just running through and then you've got, no shit, I tripped over a rock and hurt my toe. Like, come on, that'd be funny. Like, you know, shit like that. Like, if you do something like that with it, that'd be great. But if it is literally just him describing his entire adventure all the way through, you know, probably a bit much.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just thought it was an interesting concept, especially from an indie developer. So definitely go and check that out. And Bryce, that brings us to the end of the show.
That it does.
That it does. Anything else you'd like to say before we say au revoir? No? All right. Everybody.
Free trial. Final Fantasy 14. Download it for free.
All right.
Thousands of hours of content. Don't have to pay a cent.
All right. Everybody, thank you very much for listening to the House of Mario. Episode 197. If you enjoy the show, follow us on Twitter. I'm at iDruby. Bryce is at IVRev. And the show is at the House of Mario. You can leave us an Apple Podcast review like Types Very Quickly or whatever their username was. I've actually got it here. Types on Keyboard Quickly.
Types on Keyboard Quickly.
Thank you very much, Types on Keyboard Quickly. And I got to say, guys,
he does type on keyboards quickly.
The last review we got before this was in... I looked at the one down. It said 2019. It wasn't quite that long ago. The one we got before was in February.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago now. Yeah, nearly 6 months.
So it's been a long time. You're fucking dropping the ball out there. Leave us a review if you haven't already. For goodness sakes.
For goodness sake, please leave us a review. We're just poor, humble merchants of audio files. For free. We hand them out for free. They're like pamphlets of the word of God, except neither of us are messiahs. We're just two idiots behind a microphone. Two microphones. We don't share one. That'd be a bit un-COVID friendly.
No. Definitely about that hygiene around here.
Mm.
So if you'd like to join our Discord community where we talk about Nintendo, all sorts of gaming stuff, catch-ups, whatever, community nights are happening as well. There is an invite in the show notes. Go and check that out.
That's right.
And also if you got to the end of the show, be sure to leave the hashtag Bryce is a bloody good man that smells like a pork chop.
That's a long hashtag. Speaking of hashtags, did you order Jacko a shirt?
No, he never gave me his postal address or anything. So, Wacko Jacko, get on your stuff.
Get on your stuff,
so,
man.
So, every now and again, I will offer bribes.
Bribes.
To leave the hashtag. I really need that hashtag.
I really want that hashtag, please.
I'm going to change the hashtag. Just make it something simple like, Drew likes a good Coke. Drew likes a good Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So go and check that out.
That, you heard it here, folks. Drew likes some good Coke.
I sure do.
He likes some good Coke.
Mm-hmm. All right. And also a very big thank you to our Patreon producers, DJ, Sam Hay, and Alex Harding. Very much appreciate your support over there on patreon.com/iDruby.
Mm.
Yes. Thank you very much, guys.
Mm-hmm. Help us pay the podcast bills.
Yeah. Yes. And we've actually started a new podcast with my friend Ash, Crackin' Furfies. Finally
started a new podcast.
Well, it is new. We just put it on podcast services. Yeah. So go and check out Crackin' Furfies if you want a fun time where we talk about stuff, really. Talk about news stories, and we've got to try and work in a fake news story to try and trick the other one. Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of fun. Yeah.
And it is. You're not wrong.
No, not today. Not right now, anyway.
No.
All right.
Not this very moment.
No. All right, guys. Until next time, the doors to the House of Mario are closed. I'll catch you later.
Oh, bye. Please bring back medicine for my poor tummy. Please, please, next week, bring me back my medicine for my poor tummy. Please, please. I really need medicine for my poor tummy.